some of the things that were testified this morning, the little places that things happen that don't fit into our expectations. So we're planning to do one thing. It doesn't go the way we planned, but inside of that thing, something else happens. Ruth talked about this gentleman. Daniel talked about this bird lady. Jeremy talked about the diner, right? And so everybody know the case for Christ, Lee Strobel, right? It's been made into a movie, and I'm told that the movie is fantastic. It's not cheesy. It's a really, really good movie. So make that one of your homework assignments this week. Go. I think you can get it online. See The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. But here's a quick snippet if you've not read the book. Guess how many copies of The Case for Christ have been sold?
3 million.
Come on.
7 million.
Come on. 14 million.
Wow.
14 million copies of The Case for Christ have been sold. So this couple, I don't want to give away the whole movie, but this couple is about to go out to dinner, and they're set up to go to this restaurant. And then something happens, and they decide, oh, we're not going to go to that restaurant. We go to this restaurant. When they go to that restaurant, they run into Lee Strobel and his family, and something happens to his child while they're at the table eating. And this woman, who is going to a different restaurant, is a nurse. And that child is choking, and the nurse saves her life. And that starts a chain. And the lady says to her, I can't believe that you're here. It was meant to be. And she goes, no, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wanted to go somewhere else. And after that night, that lady goes to find her. She goes, finds the hospital that she works in, and she goes to bring her a cake because she can't understand this. God told me to come to this restaurant instead of that restaurant. So she goes to find this nurse and starts to ask her questions. She gets saved. Her husband, who's Lee Strobel, is a radical non-believer, wants no part of it, and on the day that his wife gets saved, sets out to prove that it's all a hoax. And so that's how 14 million copies of The Case of Christ got started, right? So we have to be careful about what we think is what God is doing sometimes and what we think we want to do, and sometimes it's the changes in what we're going to do that bring about the most incredible miracles. And if we're not paying attention all the time, we miss some of that. So I just want to encourage you. I want to thank everyone for their testimonies this morning. And then quickly, I just want to talk about where we started off the year and where we are now. You know, if you go to work, right, at least where I work, every year in the middle of the year, you have to sit down with the boss and tell the boss how you're doing, right? At the beginning of the year, you have to say to the boss, I'm agreeing to do this, that, and the other thing. At the middle of the year, you have to check in and say, how am I doing, right? And so I don't understand why the church thinks it's okay to not progress sometimes or not grow. But everywhere else in our life, there's an expectation. For all those students that came up here, you didn't just go to school and show up. Because if you do, when the report cards comes out, you know what's going to happen, right? And in public school, it's no big deal because most of us aren't paying for public school. We're paying indirectly, but you're not taking the money out of your pockets. But if you go to college, you know, you're paying out of your own pocket. So now if you don't do the work, you're just hurting yourself, right? So it should be a higher level of expectation in the church. It shouldn't be that. It should be greater than that. We should have an expectation to grow and to become more glorious every time we get together, every day that we live, than we were the day before, right? We heard a couple weeks ago from Diana about understanding our identity. We heard last week from Daniel about grace and faith, right? And those things are important, but they're not important to themselves. They're important to enable us, right? Grace is not given bestowed upon us to cover our faults. Grace is given to enable our greatness. And too many times we see it the other way. Too many times we see grace, yes, grace corrected all the faults I did. Yes, it does that. But its real purpose is to enable you to live in the destiny and the fullness that God has called you to. Right? We talk about this here all the time, willpower. right? Go back to the Garden of Eden. God said to them, you can have all of this. Everybody in here could have access to everything you want. Just don't touch this basket. So what does everybody got to do? Touch the basket. Now, willpower will say, I got to work on not touching that basket. I got to work on not touching that basket. I got to work on. When that's the mentality of our will, we're going to fail. You know why? Because everything inside of us is focused on the basket. And all we're doing every day is saying, I got to get away from pornography. I got to get away from pornography. It's a constant record going on in our mind. The issue is not focus on the basket and say, I got to keep my will so I don't touch the basket. The issue is to focus on all the yes. Invest in all the yes. I can have everything here. When I sell myself and invest into everything I can have, then I don't have to focus my will on not touching the basket. When I focus on all that God has given me to do and prepared for me to do, I don't have to focus on the things I shouldn't do because they don't overwhelm my heart. They're not in my thought pattern constantly. Will they pop up now and then? Yes, they will. But when I've developed my thought life and my focus and my appetite around the yes, then I don't need to have will for a no. Too many times we get caught up in the opposite and it can't be sustained. It will never work. Oh, I got to stop smoking. Smoking is the constant thing on our mind. No, we got to start doing something different. And so all these things, we got together in the beginning of the year and we asked ourselves to make some commitments for the year. And so this morning, we just want to try to think about where we stand now. Some scriptures before we get in. God, just bless your word this morning. We've heard so much richness in the worship and in the dedication. And we thank you so much for all you've done for us, God. It truly is amazing grace, God. It truly is amazing. That we get to stand here today and worship you and have hope and promise for the future. We just bless your word this morning in Jesus' name. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. Say it with me. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, we were talking yesterday about Houston, right? No one told those people, go out and help your neighbor. They're just doing it. They're just doing it. That's a work prepared ahead of time to do. And so we confuse this sometimes. What's the good work? Preach the gospel? Sure. What's the good work? Pray? Sure. But the good work is humanity. Do I love my neighbor as myself? And we don't get to choose our neighbor. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? There's a man gets attacked by robbers and he's laying dead on the side of the road. And a priest and a rabbi go right by him. Why? Because they're on their way to do the good works. And a Samaritan, someone who has no interest, not a religious person by the standard of the day, not someone we would necessarily look up to. He takes this broken, wounded man, doesn't say, hey, friend, let me tell you the gospel. The guy's bleeding to death. He doesn't say, hey, let me pray for you to be healed. Heck, he could do that, and he probably should do that, but he doesn't even know that because he's not a religious guy. He's just somebody that realizes that as a human being, I have to react. And so much more so us as professed Christians, how can we not react? How can we participate in the hatred and the division that's going on? It's not an option. We can't look in the mirror if that's who we are. And so this Samaritan picks this guy up. He takes care of him as he would take care of his own family member. He takes care of his wounds. He brings him to a place. He puts him into shelter and he says, if there's anything I owe, I'll pay. That's all fundamental. That's material stuff. James says, if we just have faith and no works, it's no good. We have to have both. We have to have this synergy between our beliefs. We have to be praying people. We have to study the scripture. We have to be filled with the Spirit. But then we have to address the human need. Jesus was a human being. He had every emotion that we'll ever had. And he lived through all of that. God's prepared things for you to do in advance. He's prepared things for me and you to do today. The question is, will we miss them? Because we have a different agenda, or because we have our hearts set on something that, if the script goes a little wrong, we get all wrecked and out of shape, and then we become unusable. Matthew 7:22, on the last day, many will call me Lord. They will say, Lord, Lord, by the power of your name, we spoke for God. By your name, we forced out demons and did many miracles. Then I will tell you, those people clearly, get away from me. You people who do wrong, I never knew you. This is the ERV version. And you say to yourself, how could that be? How could we be doing these things? We can do things and not have the heart of God. It sounds like it doesn't make sense. How do the things happen when we don't have the heart of God? But the gifts of God and the call of God are without repentance. And God doesn't prevent someone from being blessed because you're not necessarily, or I'm not necessarily, in the right place. The thing is not don't do the things. The thing is, do the things and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 11:42. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. I'm doing all the stuff. Remember the rich young ruler? I've obeyed all the laws since I was a kid. Okay, one more thing you got to do. You got to recognize that you were here to help humanity. You were here to be a great human being and help other people be great human beings. I can't give away everything I have. It means too much to me. He's talking to the religious leaders of his day. And he's saying, you're doing these things, but if you read this chapter, he's saying you put requirements on men that they can never fulfill. And then you think that you have the answers to the kingdom. You're doing these things. You're paying your tithe. You're doing these things, these functional things, but you don't care about humanity. Then he says, you should do both. You should do these things. Yes, that's half. Here's the other half. And so we want to make sure that we don't have a dysfunctional focus. We don't have a dysfunctional walk. We want the fullness of the grace of God. We want the fullness of the faith of God. And we want the fullness of the Spirit of God. But we also want this contact with everyday people that walk through our lives, that may never, ever hear I love you, that may never get a hug. Right? Ruth didn't go down to the police station to try to convert this guy. She went down there to just welcome him to the community and thank him for being a protector here and just saying, I'm here and I really appreciate you, right? Of course, we want everybody to know when you've really received Christ, it's hard not to say, you got to have this gift I have because it's the most incredible thing. I'm not saying it's either or. I'm saying it's both. So we talked about some expectations back in January. Remember, we looked at this picture of the block, and we looked at what might could be here in this artist rendition of where we might want to go. Those are just thoughts in our head about what God might help us do here in this city so that we can become a big blessing. We talked about making a goal at the beginning of the year. We asked everybody to make one spiritual life goal and one material life goal, right? And we said, use this tool, the SMART tool, right? Make a specific goal, right? Make it measurable. It's a help. Make it achievable. Make it relevant or reasonable and put a time base on it. You know why? Because we don't write something down, we won't do it. I was having a discussion with a gentleman the other night, and we were talking about life issues, and I said, well, what is your goal? And he goes, you know, I haven't really defined that. I said, well, that's really important. Because like myself, I know when I don't have something written down, I tend never to get it done. It always comes up and say, I should do that, but I never get it done. He goes, you know, you're right. He goes, a couple years back, I had written down a whole bunch of goals, and then I forgot about them, and I left off of it, and I never did anything with it. But, he goes, recently, I was doing some cleaning up, and I found that paper. And he looked, I said, I read those goals, and I realized I had achieved every one of them. I said to him, that must have been a great feeling when you read that paper, wasn't it? And he said, yeah, it was. And he said, I said, so I think you, one of the things you got to do is you got to write, you got to figure out right now, what's your goal now? Because he was a little confused about where he was headed. And he said, you know, you're absolutely right. I have to define it first, and then I have to get it down on paper. And that's why we do this. We're not trying to be like crazy about it. But if we don't have something in front of us all the time, if we don't have a yes that we're after, then we're going to be consumed by the no's that come after us. We said that as a body here, we would transition the role for opening and closing the service. We would end prophetic declarations within the first quarter. We've done that. We've had multiple different people involved, taking care of things that were normally taken care of by just a few people. And so we have a lot more participation going on, and we're planning to do a lot more of that. We said that we would have about 2 weeks open each month for different speakers. So if you've been here regularly during the year, you would know that every week we're having basically a different speaker almost, right? I can't even tell you how many different. We probably had 10 different people speak since the beginning of the year, and they've all done extremely well, right? I mean, every one of them is amazing, and I think there's more, and we want to double down on that effort, right? We've been pursuing practical life training sessions for Wednesday night. So we had Christine do a Bible study all through the spring. We're going to move into In Christ's Image as we go into the fall. We're going to continue to develop those are growth strategies. Those are where we work on the issues of our life so that we continue to grow and develop as human beings and as Christians. We're pursuing land partnerships. So we continue to look at the land. We've talked to different people about what might be possible in this property. Some of those have gone positive. Some of them have gone not so positive. We continue to pray for God to give us wisdom about how we proceed and look at other options, right? And see maybe if there's another way to accomplish what we want to accomplish. We talked about in the beginning of the year expanding youth efforts. And so Lionel and Hannah have been doing a great job with that. They've put together activities. They've been building consistency with the young people, and we're expecting that to produce a lot of fruit and maybe even grow even more. We got the woman that was here last week, gave us an invitation about how we might connect with them, Young Life. And so maybe that's an opportunity where we get more involved in the community, in the city. I would love to see, we had talked about this when we were doing youth group every Friday night, being able to go out on different days and doing acts of kindness in the community, right? Go clean up a lot. Go cover up some graffiti. Go pick up garbage in front of somebody's property, not for money, not for recognition, just because we love our city and we want to bless our city and we want to teach our children responsibility and how to be good human beings, right? So we asked each other to take a moment to write out our two goals for the year when we started in January. And I just gave you a quick rundown of where we are in terms of the goals of the house, right? So I would just ask you, for anybody that was here in January and had written down a goal, is anybody willing to share what their goal was and where they might be at it this morning?
One of my spiritual goals was to read through the whole Old Testament, and I'm up to Ezekiel right now.
Awesome. Anybody else? Crickets. So I think that I would ask you to go back and look at what you committed to. If you maybe you just don't want to share it, you're not ready to do that, that's fine. This isn't to bring conviction or condemnation or judgment. This is to try to encourage you to say, what was it that I had my eyes on for 2017, and where am I against it now? I've got a couple things in my own life, and sometimes when we get off track, they get sidetracked. We have to put ourselves back on track. But we're here to do the works that God has prepared for us beforehand. But you can't do something that you haven't personally equipped yourself and prepared for. If somebody says right now, hey, I want you to go out and build a house, I'm not going to be able to do that because I don't know how to build a house. I do know some things about repair and things like that, but I'm not equipped. In order for me to go and build a house, I have to spend time ahead of time getting equipped to be able to build a house. If somebody says, I want you to go play professional baseball right now, I'm not equipped to do that. I would need time to train. Obviously, I'm too old now, but the point is you don't just step into something. And you don't just become good at something. We talk about prophetic. We talk about the giftings. We ask people to practice. We give you the opportunity to express yourself during these services so we can help you grow. And we can work with each other to refine the gifts, refine the tools that God has given us to grow the body. But you have to take the step. Faith without work is dead. Right? When we hear the work sometime, word work in the body of Christ, we get all nervous. Oh, Jesus did all the work. Yeah, he did do all the work of salvation. But the work of the kingdom now belongs to you because he's not here. He's in here. And he's asked you to be an ambassador. He's asked me to be an ambassador. And there's no ambassador on the planet, official ambassador, that doesn't work. They have a job, and they have to do their job. And so we need to encourage ourselves to figure out where we are, and are we moving? Are you still believing for something greater than what you already know, right? So again, we challenged ourselves in 2017. Even if I write something down, I don't want that to limit me. If my goal was X, and I can get to X plus something, then I'm going for that. If I get somewhere toward X, that's great. If I started at zero and I'm at one, that's wonderful. But if I can get from zero to eight, that's even better. We expect an incredible move of God here. I've got to tell you that things have been changing, and they've been changing dramatically. The worship has been changing in an incredible way, and lives have been changing. And so I want to sow into that. I want to double down. I want to invest in that big yes. I don't want to pick out everything that's not where we wanted to be and say, oh, that's not where we needed to be. I want to put my energy into what is moving forward, what is happening. And the things that aren't where they need to be, we'll address them. But they're not gonna consume all the energy and all the effort. All the energy and effort is going to go into the things that are moving forward. We'll shift from a culture of earned trust to one of imputed trust. We're not going to wait around anymore to figure out, are you trustworthy? We're going to assume that you're trustworthy because you're a believer in Christ, and all believers in Christ should be trustworthy, right? And we'll let you have the opportunity to demonstrate that you aren't, right? But we're not going to come in with the assumption, the places I grew up when, you know, it would take 40 years for somebody to figure out, are you trustworthy? Well, I've been showing up for 40 years. You think that counts for something, right? So we're gonna believe in you. And maybe sometimes, I got to tell you right now, people believed in me when I shouldn't have been believed in. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. And so sometimes we're going to believe in you when you may not deserve it, but we're going to help you get to a place where your life lines up with who you are and what you do. It requires an understanding that as a body, we honor each other and ensure that we can be counted on every time we meet to serve our role in the body. So again, I'll ask this question. I asked it back in January. What does the body rely on you for in 2017, right? The notion that this is a spectator sport is just a bad notion. We don't come to church to get. We come to church to give. And when we come in and say, God, I'm available, I'm ready, I'm committed, I'm dependable, then the Spirit of God moves on that like no other time. It's not where I come in and say, God, I need X, Y, and Z. And if I don't get X, Y, and Z, I go home disappointed. It's God, I come to bring my gifts, my talent, my heart, my energy into the body to bless the body. And when we do that, we leave with so much, we can't even figure out what happened to us. So I just want to bless you this morning. I'm thrilled about these births that have happened and about the ability to dedicate Ethan, Lisa, Nathan. It's an incredible responsibility God has given you. It's a wonderful thing, but you need to take it seriously. You need to understand that you've been given a generational gift, and this is a seed for the generations, and so you have to steward that well. The dedication, I can't tell you the power of that, but let's just honor God, right? Our young people going back to school, let's just believe God is going to rattle the school system, because some of our young people are going to step up and stand out this year, right? And some of our teachers are going to step up and stand out this year. And somewhere in a diner or somewhere at the shop, right, or somewhere else, we're going to just love people right where they are and let God do the rest. And we're going to live our lives in a way that demonstrates the love and the power of God. Amen? Amen. Amen.